Good evening. As was announced, our scripture reading is taken from Psalms 85, verses 1 and 2, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. That is Psalms 85, verses 1 and 2, from the New American Standard Bible. O Lord, you showed favor to your land. You restored the captivity of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. And that was Psalms 85, verses 1 and 2 from the New American Standard Bible.
Tonight, appreciate everyone's presence. Let me begin tonight by asking you a simple question. That is, are you a sinner? And I know sometimes it's hard to answer that with a yes, and that is usually because it's hard sometimes to see our own faults. It's hard to admit that we sin from time to time. It's far easier to see the faults and the flaws of other people, and even the sins of those around us. But the truth is, we are all sinners. We are mindful of what Paul said in Romans chapter 3 at verse 23, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But someone says, yes, but that was before I obeyed the gospel. Now that I'm a Christian, I no longer sin. Well, that's not true either. Hopefully, we're not living in sin. We don't practice sinning, but still, we all sin from time to time. I know you're familiar with 1 John chapter 1, but let's turn over there and read it and notice again that John reminds us of this. And this was very necessary to be reminded of, and it continues to be even today. Remember at verse 5, 1 John 1 at verse 5, this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So, again, we're warned that we're not to walk in darkness. We're not to live in darkness. But he goes on at verse 8, of course, to say, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And then again, at verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so, are you a sinner? And the answer, I guess it would depend on what I mean by that. Hopefully, if I was asking, are you a practicing sinner? Do you live in sin? Do you wallow in sin? The answer, hopefully, is no. But are you a sinner from the standpoint of sinning from time to time? Yes, we all are. The important question is, what do we do when we sin? How do we handle that? The Bible talks about covering sin. In Romans chapter 4, turn your Bibles there for just a moment. Romans, the fourth chapter. Romans chapter 4. Let's just read a few verses here. Verse 6, we'll begin there. Romans 4 and at verse 6, it says, just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And so, again, the Bible speaks of the idea of having our sins covered or covering sin. Now, there is a right way to have your sins covered, and there's a wrong way to try to cover your sins. And when we think about the right and wrong way, it all really has to do with who is doing the covering. Let's look just quickly at a couple of passages. Turn your Bibles over to Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, and notice, if you would, at verse 13. Proverbs 28 at verse 13. Reading from the ESV, it says, "Whosoever conceals his transgressions." Now, some translations, I know the King James and the New King James would use the word cover there. "Whosoever covers his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." And so clearly this is the wrong way to have your sins covered. That is, when you try to cover your own sins, that is going to fail every time. But what about in Psalms 85, in the passage that was read for us by Arnold just a moment ago? Let's turn over there and just reread that. Psalms 85 and at verse 1 says, "Lord, you were favored to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob." Then verse 2, "You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sins." So the right way and the wrong way to cover sins has everything to do with who's doing the covering. When you try to cover your own sins, it's just not going to work. We need to let God cover our sins. For just a few minutes tonight, let's look at the wrong way to cover sins. How is it that man will try to cover his own sins? There's a lot of ways we attempt to do that. The first thing that comes to my mind is that man tries to cover his own sins by blaming someone else. And, of course, that is a very old thing, goes all the way back, of course, to Adam and Eve. If you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, we read of sin being introduced into the world. And we see how Adam and Eve handled their transgressions. Genesis chapter 3 and at verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open.'" Notice, appealing to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Remember 1 John chapter 2? The devil doesn't learn any new tricks, it seems. He tempted Eve, as we read this, in those very ways. He says, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree, God told her. But verse 4, "But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, there's the lust of the flesh, and that it was a delight to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. But it says she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And so we have the sad situation, the introduction of sin into the world. And again, her eyes were open, and you remember the scene. You've read this many times before. They now knew that they were naked, and so when they heard God coming, walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they hid themselves from the presence of God. But you can't hide from God. He asked the question just to get a response. "Where art thou?" he asked Adam. And you remember Adam said that he was afraid, because he was naked. And God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree, of the fruit of the tree that I told you, commanded you not to eat of?" And of course, he did. But how did he handle that? How did Eve handle that? Their sin now has been exposed. God is aware of it. Of course, he was aware of it the very moment that they did it. But how did they respond to it? Well, we know the answer to that, don't we? They started to blame other people. You remember, as we read down through this, how Adam responded to that. At verse 12, the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." So then it says, "The Lord said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" And again, we're very familiar with the story. We know that both of them ended up being punished by God. And of course, not only individually, but collectively, they were cast out of the garden and lost access to the tree of life. Why? Because they try to cover their sin by blaming Adam, blaming Eve, and as we've often pointed out, even indirectly blaming God for giving him this woman. And Eve right away tried to blame the serpent. And the blame game doesn't work when it comes down to God. But that's the kind of world that we live in. And sometimes even the church, people try to cover their sin by blaming someone. There are those who leave the faith and they blame some brother or sister who somehow offended them. Or those who try to forsake the assembly and they blame the preacher or they blame the Bible class teacher for being boring. Or there are those who refuse to forgive those who sin against them and they blame the one who needs the forgiving. But that's just a way that man sometimes tries to cover sin, just blaming other people. And that doesn't work. As we already found in a couple of those scriptures, and we'll see this a little bit later on, that's not how you cover sin. Whenever you try to cover your own sin, as opposed to simply confessing the sin before God, it's just not going to work. But that's one of the wrong ways to do it. Don't ever blame someone else for your transgression. Maybe there was someone else involved somehow, some way. Maybe you were encouraged by someone else to sin. I've seen that many, many times over the years, and so have you. Maybe it is true that somebody offended you, somebody made you mad. But whatever the case is, if you leave the faith or if you become unfaithful, if you sin in any form or fashion against God, at the end of the day, it's your fault and you'll be held accountable for that. You can't simply blame someone else and think that that's going to take care of your sin. It simply won't. And I'll tell you another way, though, that some people try to cover sin. They simply try to hide it from other people. We are mindful when we think of that. We think of the story of Jericho, don't we? Turn your Bibles over to Joshua chapter 6. And as I'm turning over there, you remember the story. Of course, this is the beginning of the conquest period. And you remember that God was going to give the Israelites Jericho and they wouldn't even really have to fight for it. He tells the Israelites, you just get the men of war, those who are of that age and you have them march around the city once a day for 6 days. And also the priest would go, seven priests would go with trumpets made of ram's horn, and they were to blow the trumpet. But on the seventh day, they were to march seven times around the city. And then the priest, again, with the Ark of the Covenant, they were to blow the horn. And when the people heard the lasting blow of the trumpet, then they were all to shout, and the walls would come down. And we know that's exactly what happened. But notice a little bit of this in Joshua chapter 6 and down at about verse 15 it says, "And on the seventh day they rose early at the dawn of the day and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city seven times And at the seventh time, when the priest had blown the trumpet, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But look at verse 18. But you keep yourself from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take away of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble upon it. And so that's not a very big ask, is it? God was going to give them the city. They wouldn't even have to fight once again. By grace, they were going to be given the victory and off to a great start in this conquest. All they had to do was not touch the devoted things. But of course, again, you probably know the story in chapter 7 and at verse 1. It says, but the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the things that the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. And Joshua sent the men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Bethaven, east of Bethel, and said to them, go up and spy out the land. And the men went up and spied out Ai, and they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not have all of the people go up, but let us let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few. And so this should have been an easy battle. But now there's sin in the camp. Now, because of Achan, God is angry with them. And so they go out. They send a couple of thousand against this small city, Ai. And instead of having the easy victory, they end up being chased away. And 36 men died. And they were distraught about that, of course. Even Joshua was distraught, falling on his knees and praying to God, asking what is going on. God told him to get up. There's sin in the camp. Someone has taken of the devoted things. And so he said, you bring out tribes one by one, and I will show you the tribe that is guilty. And then from that tribe, you bring out the clans, and I will pull out the one who is guilty. And then from the clan, you bring out every household one by one, and I'll show you who is guilty. And then from that household, bring out man by man. And that's what they did. And Achan, of course, was the one discovered to be guilty. And so we find, as we read down through this, that he had to answer for his sin. At verse 19 it says, and then Joshua said to Achan, my son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. And Achan answered Joshua, truly I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And this is what I did when I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak of Sinar and 200 shekels of silver and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels. Then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent with the silver underneath. Oh, Achan, he thought he could hide his sin. He knew he was doing the wrong thing. He knew, just like Eve, we didn't really stress it, but just like Adam and Eve, they knew exactly what the command of the Lord was. Eve repeated it. And when God gives commands, it's always like that. He never gives us commands that's too hard for us to understand. They're always very simple and very precise. And that was the case with this. Achan just allowed his lust to get the best of him. He coveted those things. And so he sinned against God, and he thought somehow, some way, if he just dug a hole and hid away from everybody in the camp, he'd get away with it. But obviously, he failed. Because when you try to cover your sin just by hiding it, it's just not going to work. That's the nature of sin, though, isn't it? That's the nature of man in doing things that are sinful. They usually try to do it under the cover of night. You remember in Romans chapter 13. Romans, the 13th chapter, Paul gives us some advice. Romans, the 13th chapter, at verse 12. He writes this, Romans 13 and at verse 12. He says, the night is far gone. The day is at hand. And so then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime. Now, when he talks here about the darkness, the works of darkness, basically that is terminology in the Bible that is just dealing with any kind of sin. But in this context, it kind of has a double meaning. You notice he talks about the daytime. Works of darkness, not only are they things that are sinful within themselves, but sometimes they are things that are practiced in the dark. Practiced at night when very few people are going to see it. And so he mentions some of sins that are sort of like that. He says, let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. Over the years, who has or when have individuals gotten drunk or been involved in sexual immorality and that sort of thing? It is very often at night when they think it will be hidden from most people. I remember Paul, again, turn over to 1 Thessalonians. We get another passage that talks about that a little bit. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice what Paul writes here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and at verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and at verse 6 says, so then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep when? At night. And now watch. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Those who get drunk at night. Now, you understand, we all know this is no law or rule that's written in stone. Particularly in our society today, it seems like sinners are getting more bold, and they sin all the time, night or day. Open or hidden. But when it sometimes comes down to Christians, we know that some think, well, if I can just do this, the elders don't know about it, I'm okay. If I behave this way and my brothers and sisters never discover it, then I'm good. I'm okay. No, you're not okay. Because why? The elders may not know anything about it. Why? Your brothers and sisters may never discover it. God sees everything. You can't hide from him. Hebrews 4 and at verse 13, neither is there any creature not manifest in his sight. For all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And we should always remember that. Everything you do, God sees. And so just hiding your sin, that may well escape any consequences in the immediate. It may be that nobody, no man, sees your sins and discovers your sins, but you won't escape on the day of judgment. Because just hiding your sin isn't the right way to cover it. You know, another way people try to cover their sins, just by pure hypocrisy. Just by pretending to be better than they are. The scribes and the Pharisees, of course, were guilty of that. Turn over to Matthew chapter 23. We We see a lot of that in this particular chapter. In Matthew chapter 23, we could really read the entire chapter and we could see a lot of that going on. But let's just read a few verses here. Matthew chapter 23 and at verse 25, it says this: "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." Now you remember the scribes and the Pharisees, everybody from a spiritual standpoint at least looked up to them. They might not have been loved by everybody, but they were viewed as the spiritual elite, even though they were a mess from a spiritual standpoint. They weren't close to what God wanted them to be, but everybody thought they were because they were hypocrites. And so their hypocrisy from the standpoint of man covered up who they really were, but it never did cover their sins. And so Jesus, over and over here, he calls them on that. He says at verse 26, "You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and of the plate, that the outside also may be clean." He says, "Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like the whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones, all uncleanness. And so you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." And some people think they're getting away with something by their hypocrisy, long as they're not discovered by man. But once again, we realize we're all going to be judged by God. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and He sees everything. We're going to be judged not by what man thinks, but by the Word of God. And so what does it profit you if you fool everyone around you? There's secret sin in your life that is unconfessed. Somehow, are you going to be okay? Of course not. That's not the right way to cover your sin. I'll tell you a fourth thing, just in passing here. Some people think time will cover their sin. That if enough time goes by, even apart from repentance, that somehow and the good works that you do as that time lapses, that somehow that's going to take care of the sin that you committed before. That won't work either. Time doesn't matter to God. Remember what Peter said about God to the Lord? A day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day. All the time that goes on between your sin and you getting that thing right, it really doesn't matter. Time won't cover anything. It might to man. Sometimes that does work when it comes down to man. But it doesn't work with God. And so you say, all right, then, well, all those ways that are wrong, what about the right way? How do I cover my sin then? We do all sin from time to time. How do I have my sin covered? And it's very simple. We have to let God do it. If you're not a Christian, you do that by obeying the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 1 at verse 16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. When you obey the gospel of Christ, then your sins are covered not by you, but by God. And when He covers it completely. You never have to worry about it again. And if you, of course, are a wayward sinner, then you need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. First John, you remember we read it in the very beginning. In 1 John chapter 1, he says, now don't deny that you have sinned. Instead, take care of it the right way. Confess your sin. Not simply to man, but to God. That's what Acts 8 at verse 22 is referring to. Pray God. Repent and pray God. You confess to God your sins. And John said He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. That's the only way your sin could ever be forgiven. We're all accountable. Again, we live in a society where accountability is at an all-time low. I may have told you this before, several years ago, I read in some magazine, Time Magazine, I think it was, but whatever it was, they did kind of a study. They got all kinds of people together. There was 10 of them, if I remember correctly. And they were just from different fields of life, like a lawyer and a doctor and a mechanic and just all kinds of different people, even a preacher. And their job was to discover whether or not Cain was guilty of murder. Well, that's easy peasy, isn't it? That's no problem at all. We can fix this right now. When, you know, they probably all got a little fee for partaking in this thing. Well, that's easy money. But this is a true story. They were together in a room and they thought about it and looked at it from every different direction, and they concluded, that group of 10 people concluded, that he was not guilty. Mitigating circumstances. And that's kind of like the world today. I mean, just no one's guilty of anything. There's always a reason. There's always an excuse that will justify someone's bad action. But not with God. And he's the one who's going to judge us. We have to stand before Christ, as I said a moment ago. And so we're all sinners. We all sin from time to time. The question is, do we handle it the right way? Do we get our sins covered by God? Do we allow him to cover our transgressions? Or do we try to cover our own sin? If it's the latter, it won't work. You're going to lose your soul. Better to take care of it the right way. Ask God for forgiveness. He's faithful and just to forgive you. If you've never obeyed the gospel, do that so you can get on the right path. As we said this morning, you can be a new creature in Christ, but you have to obey the gospel. Do what's right. Have your sins covered by God. He wants to do it. He hopes that you'll do the right thing, and so do we. If you need to respond to the invitation, come forward as we together stand and sing.